Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Pamela Hackett, who has advised, led, and supported people through major change within some of the world's most prominent companies and brands throughout her 35 years in management consulting. She is the global CEO of the international consultancy Proudfoot, a pioneer of boots-on-the-ground consulting that's been in the game for 8 decades. Her new book is Manage to Engage, How Great Managers Create Remarkable Results. And Pamela, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome, and really do appreciate your time and for coming out. So what would make you write a book on engagement when there are so many already in the space? Talk to us about that to kick it off today.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? There are so many there, but we're still getting really terrible engagement scores when you look at companies. And today, more than ever, I think we've all got to focus on employee engagement. I think that the stats are terrible. They say things like, you know, as little as 2 out of 10 people are actually engaged at work. And then you've got to think about all the results that we're all charged as leaders with getting. And those results are just not going to come if we continue to have these under-engaged, you know, scores where people just, they really don't like coming to work. So it's time to really change that. And I'm hoping that Manage to Engage, and the title is it really, it says that if you're a leader, your job is to manage to engage. And I think the struggle is that leaders, that they struggle with what the pragmatic solutions are. What is it that we really have to do to be able to engage people? Is it HR? Is it the perks or the policies? Or, you know, do we go out and get all these ping pong tables? Or is it something more practical that's in the hands of the leader? And of course, I think it's in the hands of the leader, because that's what we've seen in the business that I run. You know, across the globe, we see that the actual germ of what really makes a difference is the frontline leader, the guy who holds engagement in their hands.
Well, you certainly made a lot of great points to support your reason to write the book, Manage to Engage, and great perspective. Now, who really is the book aimed at exactly? Senior leaders or frontline team leaders?
You know, I think the top guys need to understand that it's the frontline leaders who can have the biggest impact on business. And I think that the frontline leaders need to understand that they're the guys who hold the results, and they really do hold the future of the business in their hands. So I think it's kind of built for both of them. But I think as a frontline leader, you'll get a lot out of it just from the simplicity of those solutions. You know, what are the simple things that I could start doing today that would make a difference in my job and that actually might engage my team more effectively? So I think if you're looking for that really practical kind of approach, then the book's for you.
Also, Pamela, and this may be a bad question, but what's the main point you want someone to take away from reading this book?
I think it truly is that you as a leader have the biggest impact on somebody's day. You have a huge impact on their well-being at work, and how much they want to show up and really turn up and step up for you. So I think if you had to take one thing away, it really is that you're the guy who holds the success of your team and their level of engagement in your hands. You have the biggest impact. It's kind of that story of, you know, what you do by day goes home with people by night. And as much as we'd all love to say that we're in charge of our own destiny at work, when it comes to work, it really is your boss who either gets you to stand up and be super excited about what you're doing that day or not.
Now, isn't that the truth? That is awesome. Awesome point right there that you would want someone to take away from that book right there. Leaders can make a difference and do make a difference. Now, you have some pretty simple tools in the book. Heads up, 1.5.30, bad hair days, being active. You even talk about what cheeses people off. Are they really all that simple?
Oh, they are. You know, if you think about it, we all spend so much time in our technology. So one of the counters for that is go heads up, lift your nose out of your technology, out of your reports, out of your devices, and really kind of look, listen, and learn, look around you and connect with people. So it really is that simple. And then if you think about 1:30, you know, this is this is a way to put some rhythm in your day so that your team understands that you really are interested in them and it is a routine part of your day to connect with them. So if it's okay with you, I'll talk a little bit about 1-5-30 because it is so simple. But one is really once a day. Check in with your team once a day. And it's that straightforward. A couple of minutes, see how they're going, ask how they're doing. Ask how they're doing at home and not just at work because we're in that kind of world now. It's okay to be a little bit more personal with people and find out what's going on in their world. But then just see how their day's going and what's getting in the way of them being successful. And if you do that once a day and just for a couple of minutes you start to get that routine, people won't look at managers and think, oh my goodness, the boss is here, you know, I better do something. They're going to look at you and say, ah, okay, this guy's interested in what I'm doing and he's here to be able to help me do a better job. So that's one. And then five is check in with them once a week, but make this one a little bit longer. Might be half an hour where you talk about how the week has gone, what did you plan to achieve this week versus what you actually achieved. And then you can look at the difference and say, okay, is there some things that we need to do a little bit differently? And that might be about you as the boss helping somebody kind of take away the things that get in the way of them being successful. Or it might be that the guy in the next department, the next office, you know, the next step of the process, that they've got to do something. And so you as the boss, again, you might be able to do something there. Or the guy on your team that you're chatting with, he's going to be able to say to himself, well, actually, I've got this. I can fix this, you know, give me a little bit of a hand. Maybe I need some training or some coaching. So five is kind of how's the job going this week? And then 30 is once a month, have a really good conversation with your team, with your team members, and see how their overall job is going. What kind of development do they need? How's the career going? Are they liking working for the company? What do they want to do at the company? So 1-5-30, it can be an operational check-in, or it can also be your performance management system and just make it really, really straightforward at the coalface operational kind of approach rather than that once-a-year HR system that we do. And don't get me wrong, I love HR. I think they've got lots that they can help with. But at the end of the day, performance management, getting the results, engagement, it all sits with you as a leader. So those are two of the kind of really simple concepts. And of course, I could go on with what cheeses people off and the whole bit.
Well, it certainly is simple, more simple than one would imagine, and some really good information right there. And I know it sounds like you could go on and on for sure. Today, we're joined by Pamela Hackett, the author of her new book, Manage to Engage, How Great Managers Create Remarkable Results. She's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, also in the book, you talk about two Fs and seven Cs in your book. What are you wanting to achieve with that? And is it a scorecard or just a way to remember what you should do?
Oh, that's great. It's a little bit of both, really, Eric. It gives you a bundle of things to really think about as you're looking through the lens of engagement. And if you think about engagement no differently than you think about what you're doing to improve productivity or your performance in the business, kind of, you know, I look at it and I say it's all about people, productivity, and profitability. If you look after the three, then you're going to get the outcomes that you want. You're going to have employees who are engaged. You're going to have a really productive workplace that makes sure that your customer is really happy. And you're also going to have a profitable workplace, which means that the boss or the shareholders or whoever, you know, whoever's really looking at your numbers is going to be happy. And to be able to get there, there's a lot of different things that need to happen. And so by no means is engagement a simple thing to do, but it can be quite complex, but it shouldn't be complicated. And you should have some very simple things that you can, as a leader, tools that you can use to be able to get you an engaged workforce and then get you the results. So two Fs and seven Cs is to give a little bit of an idea of the types of things that you should be focused on. So real quick, two Fs and seven Cs. Fair trade and freedom, they're like bookends. Fair trade is a table stake in the engagement world. It says people need to be able to feel that they're getting a fair trade for their effort. So a fair day's reward for a fair day's work type thing. And in there, they also need to feel that their leaders are, in good Australian speak, I'd say fair dinkum, but that really means that they're genuine, you know, that they're showing up and really wanting to be focused on you, the team, and team members, and that everybody gets a fair go, that it's not always the usual suspects who are being leaned on, that lots of people get opportunity, that the team, you know, across the team, the different team members get opportunity, and that kind of bundles up into fair trade. But all of those things, none of that's going to engage, but if it's absent, it's going to disengage. So you want to make sure that those table stakes are in place. And freedom is right at the other end of the scale. Freedom is kind of what you get when you bundle everything together and you've got people who are capable, you've created community in the business, people understand where they can go to get information or where they can go just to feel that they've got that sense of community. They're collaborative because you're focused on collaboration and how to put teams together, different teams across different fences and so on. They feel that they've got connection. You as a boss, you connect. They can connect with one another. And there's also a sense of confidence. So, you know, it's kind of out the doubt. Make sure that you've got a business where people are not in doubt of what needs to be done. They're not in doubt of your leadership skills. They're not in doubt of how the business is going. So there's lots of transparency around information and things. And they've also got a clean work environment. The ecosystem is working for them, not against them. And then finally, you know, everyone talks about purpose, and it's very true. It's about having a cause, having a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And if you can bundle all that together, you get a sense, people get a sense of freedom in their work. They really do feel that they can just get on with it and get the job done and do a great job. And they're let loose, if you like, to be able to do a great job. So what I rattled off there are really seven C's, two F's and seven C's. It can be a scorecard, or it can just be a reminder of the types of things that you should look at if you want to look through the engagement lens to be able to get a productive and profitable business.
Yeah, you've certainly covered a lot of bases there. Good stuff, and really appreciate your getting into some of the details on that. Now, what do you think is the most difficult thing about engaging people so much? Why is that such a challenge?
Oh, do you know, I think it is that 1-5-30. It's getting people to really get out there and get a routine and a rhythm into their day where they really do feel that they can routinely make a connection with the team and that they get in the game. You know, when you first start to try to do that, you can get a sense that your team members are thinking, oh, you know, why is the boss around so much? But once you get into that routine, it just becomes a great team who are in it together, and they're in the game together, and they're really working toward getting the results that you need to get. We've done about 50,000 engagements with companies across the globe, and the major thing that we've really found is the companies that are well-led, that get great results from their teams, and therefore they get great results in their business, are the ones that have the most active management. People are out there, they're connecting with their people, and they're helping people be successful.
Now, another question for you, Pamela, along these lines. Do you think people can really learn to engage other people, or doesn't it just come naturally?
I think anything that can be, I once heard a great quote, and I wish I could remember who said it, but anything that can be improved means it's trainable. And so I think engagement is absolutely there. You know, you can train people, you can coach them, you can guide them to get out there and be active with their teams and to practice a lot of these things that enable you to better connect. And that's the beauty, I think, of the two F's and seven C's. There, as I say, engagement can be a complex thing because so many different things have to come together. But it's not complicated when you break it down and look at the simple things that you as a leader can learn and you can improve and you can do a great job at.
Now in a world gone remote, Pamela, how do you not have people feel so remote? Talk to us about that from that angle.
Yeah, I think that this all kind of comes together, you know, particularly in consulting. So my experience, I'm going to use an example rather from consulting. My experience for 30-odd years, our business is very much boots on the ground with our clients. So our people have always been remote. They've always been out and about. If you think about, you know, the sales guys who've always been on the road, and we've always connected with them. So going remote shouldn't be a huge barrier to engagement. It's just that not everybody has been used to it. I think the really big deal there is to, again, make sure that just because you're sitting behind your computer and working from home, that you're not forgetting to do the 1-5-30s. You're not forgetting to still go heads up and connect with people and check in with them. Even if you have to put the meeting into your, you know, put that check-in into your diary every day and get that reminder that says, I need to check in with my team or my team members. I think that's probably, you know, one of the biggest. And then the other thing that I'd remind everybody is, if you grew up in that traditional, you know, sitting around the dining room table and really the kitchen table where mum, dad and the kids all had their conversations, and mum always was the one trying to give you the empathy, and then dad would give the solutions and the kids would say how the day was going. You think about that, and if you can bring that to work, if you can say, geez, we ought to have the same kind of feeling at work, right? It shouldn't be about boardroom tables or meeting room tables. It should be about kitchen tables and lunchroom tables. And if we can inject a little bit more of that into our day-to-day, then I think that's how you move away from that remoteness.
Pamela, I want to thank you for taking a moment to be with us here today and to cover engagement. Certainly is doable, and you are living proof that it is doable, and you've written a book on it, Manage to Engage. Before you go, and in conclusion, and one final question for you, what's your best story that talks to engagement?
Oh, my best story, gosh. I think it's the bad, my bad hair kind of day, going through one of the terminals in, I think it was in the UK, and they just opened this beautiful terminal. All the bells and whistles on the planet, beautiful technology, just everything that you could possibly want. And so I decided to take a shower. Seldom do I do that when I'm traveling, you know, just starting for that next flight. And in addition, I decided I would wash my hair. Incredible. I've never done that. But this day I had time between flights. Beautiful new lounge that has opened with one of the airlines. And so absolutely wet hair, out of the shower, and suddenly I'm confronted with one of those hair dryers that is like a vacuum cleaner. And it's got that hose, and I hope you can kind of get the impression from this, but all it did was a little bit of air. It was barely long enough to catch, you know, to catch my hair. So to cut a very long story short, I think that happens at work, just, you know, anywhere in your business at any time. You've got all these wonderful you've got this technology that has been built for all of the wonderful things that it has to do. But in practical, once you get into it, something might go wrong. And it's finding all of those kind of hair dryer moments that cause those bad hair days across the business. They're the things that cheese people off. That day, I walked out, wet hair, not happy. All the bells and whistles in the world were not going to make up for that. And I think that our guys in their jobs day to day have to put up with that all the time. And as a leader, our job is to go out and search for what cheeses people off, really make a difference, get that stuff fixed, get all those little niggly things that actually cause people to disengage. And in today's world, actually could cause them to walk out the door.
Certainly a great way to conclude today. Pamela, again, thanks for your time and for what you do and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. I'm sure listeners want to know how they could get more information on you and also on the book, and where could they pick up the book as well, Manage to Engage?
Oh, all major bookstores, all your usual online places, and then PamelaHackett.com and Proudfoot.com.
And of course, that's easy enough, and that works. Again, folks, it is PamelaHackett.com. Pamela, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric, and thanks for getting that message out of Managing to Engage.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Pamela Hackett, the global CEO of the international consultancy Proudfoot, a pioneer of boots-on-the-ground consulting that's been in the game for 8 decades. She's also the author of her new book, Manage to Engage, How Great Managers Create Remarkable Results. And for further details, visit PamelaHackett.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.